Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovery compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, June 14th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at Chapter 3, page 33, and more about alcoholism, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with young people may be encouraged. And we'll be reading this one paragraph only. It ends with who had been drinking for 20 years. We will be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Athena B. for the 12 steps, Denise H. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Janice P. M., and Don B. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H. and Reggie O. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, June 13th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,034. That's 13034. And the share ID for this morning's, our Friday morning, June 14th, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,036. That's 13036. Our OA preemblem, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Pardon me. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Athena B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. Athena B. from Northern California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena B. And now we will hear the 12 traditions from Denise H. Denise?
Okay. Hi, this is Denise H. Can you hear me okay?
I certainly can. Thank you, Denise.
Okay, this is Denise H. in East Tennessee, and this is the 12 traditions as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is one, but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Denise H., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And that includes, please don't use your mute button on your phone, but please use star 1 to mute and unmute. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 33, the second paragraph, beginning with, Young People May Be Encouraged. And so now I will ask Julie E.B. to begin reading. Julie? Julie E.B., star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I was hoping the plane wouldn't fly over just then. I'm just about to a little bit quieter place here. I'm sorry about that. All right, young people. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop, as he did, on their own willpower. We doubt if many of them can do it, because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the particular mental twist already acquired, will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, have been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. I'm Julie, gratefully recovered for today, praying for God's will for me and the power to carry that out. young people may be encouraged. I'm always looking for an out, for an exception, as someone said on the morning meeting, for a loophole. I'm going to be encouraged by an experience where someone can eat only beans and lose weight, or someone can eat nothing but fat foods all the time or sugary foods all the time. I mean, I was encouraged to think I could stop by a medically managed program. And but none will really want to stop. See, I didn't want to get out of self-will. And the further that I went into, I can do this, I have to do this myself, I, the mental twist, every time I'm trying harder, leaning more into perfectionism, what I was actually doing is living in fear, terrorizing myself, or in anger, like, I got to do this, and I'll show them, and or in my harms. That's why when I put down the food, but I don't pick up these steps, life gets harder, not easier. I have young people working this program and not working this program in my house. One is working this program absent, attending meetings, and she has peace, and hopefully will continue to work each day to connect to her higher power. The other one is home for the summer. He's trying willpower. He got so far in the food last semester, he really almost had to drop out and was getting so depressed. And as he recovers now and is just doing on his willpower, he'll call and say, well, why do I have these cravings? Or why do I feel worse? What do I do with all this? And since I know I can't help him as much as I can help others, I try to just share experience, strength, and hope, listen, love, and wait, because it's such a strange monster. The more I'm in my willpower with the food or with my character defects, trying to remove those myself, the further I am into proving I, and the less I can see God. I guess one quick thing. Today on the trail, this poodle jumped up and surprised me, and I'm very scared of dogs. And the lady I see on the trail many days says, I said, oh, I'm scared of dogs. I used to get angry, resentful, all sorts of things. I said, oh, I'm scared of dogs. And the lady said, but you know him. And that was a powerful spiritual experience for me today. I get scared of some future things in my life for some of the people that I love. Time. But I know my higher power. Why is it I can't always connect those dots? When I know my higher power, I don't have to be scared. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. So again, we're reading in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, on page 33, starting with Young People May Be Encouraged. And so who would like to share?
Janice at Jonah W.
I heard Jonah W. M.
Joe M.
Was that Joe M.?
Yes.
Thank you.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. I heard something with a B.
Mary.
Is that Mary B?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so I have room for two more.
Bruce E.
Got you, Bruce.
Right.
One more.
Bruce E. Mm-hmm.
I heard you, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more, please.
Electra S.
Was that Electra?
Yes.
Was that S as in Sam?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have our lineup. We have Janice PM, Joe M, Lisa JR, Mary B, Bruce E, and Electra S. Janice PM, please go ahead and follow up by Joe M.
Well, yeah. Good morning. Yeah, good morning to you, Sherry KB, and thank you. And good morning to all. I'm Janice PM from Massachusetts, a recovered compulsive overeater. Young people, oh, do I identify with this? You know, young people, I know that my eating career started when I was 8. I can remember vividly being afraid of the nanny that my mother had for me because she had to go to work. So my brother and I would go into the bedroom, put a blanket on the floor and get some crackers and peanut butter and feel so good. I wasn't afraid anymore. I wasn't resentful that my mother had to go to work and I had to be with a nanny. You know, I knew from then. And then as I got a little older, at maybe 10, I would take the train over to my nana's because I knew in my head that I would have such a great weekend because she was going to be making homemade pasta. So I really had it from the beginning. And, you know, I was young and even going into adolescence, you know, I lived above the bakery that we owned, and I would still have methods and remedies, knowing that, geez, I'm not going to eat because I think I'm getting headaches from the sugar and the flour, whatever. And I would make little thing methods like, I'll go in the back way. That way I don't have to go through the bakery, you know, all those things. So I had all the characteristics of a compulsive overeater. But do you think that had me stop? No. It only got worse and worse and worse because this disease that I have, I don't know about you, but it's very patient. It's very patient. It's progressive. And, you know, we can die from this and get all kinds of consequences. But do you think I thought of that? No. I didn't even know what I had. I didn't. Willpower. See, comparing yourself to this man, he was extraordinary with his willpower. And he had tremendous discipline. Well, I know I'm not disciplined about anything. I do what I want when I want it. So if we think when we're young, you know, that this is not going to happen to me because I haven't been eating that long and I'm not falling down drunk. Like in my days, that was the worst thing. We were just obese. So that was okay. Didn't even realize. And of course, we know today obesity in children is number one. It's too bad we don't have an Owenon meeting for them because that's the killer of our future. So, yeah, I didn't know I had that peculiar mental twist, but I knew that I liked the effect. I liked the effect that it gave me. It took away all my problems, you know, and I used that as a solution. I didn't know I was powerless. I did not know. And could I stop? Yeah, I dieted, and when I moved, geographical cure, you know, I went on protein and vegetable, but that didn't last long. Because it's not in my mind. I don't know why. I don't have to. Yeah, I can stop, but I always started again. I had delusional thinking. The mental obsession was there from the beginning. Thank God today. Yes, thank you. Thank God today, the 12 steps, I have found that power to take away that obsession for one day only because I'll never be cured. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Janice PM. Mo, Scott, excuse me, Joe M., you're up, followed by Lisa J.R. Joe?
Thank you for your service. My name is Joe. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop, as he did, on their own willpower. I think if you had presented me with this message when I was a young person, say in my early 20s, I would have been encouraged by this man's experience. I think I would have said to myself, you know, he stopped for 25 years. I'm in my early 20s. Maybe I could stop for 25 years, and I'll just think about the consequences, or I'll think about what happened to him. Well, that would be down the road for me. And I think what I would have done with that information was I would not have stopped, but I would have deluded myself into thinking that I could stop on my own willpower, and that I would have 25 years of being able to stop and do well, because I hadn't been through the ringer to the extent that I needed to go through the ringer in order to accept that I was a compulsive overeater. It says, we doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already acquired, will find he can win out. If you had presented me with this, I would not have really wanted to stop, and I would not have been able to stop because the peculiar mental twist had already been acquired in me and had been operating for quite a number of years, even by the time I was in my early 20s. So I had to have an experience of day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year experience of going back into the food and have it destroy me before I was ready to come to you and have you present me this message and have my ears actually be open to it. You could not have talked me out of any of my experiences. And I did not get sober in this program, nor am I able to stay sober in this program on anyone else's experience. It has to be my experience. So when I'm talking to someone, when I'm doing 12-step work, I'm not trying to convince them of anything. If I'm talking to a young person, I'm not trying to convince her of anything. Her addiction's going to convince her more than anything that I ever say. So I'm grateful today that I was finally, I accepted I was beaten into a state of reasonableness. And I'm glad that today at 56, I have recovery. And I don't regret my past. It led me to where I am today. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Joe M. Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Mary B. Lisa?
Thank you so much for your service, Sherry. And good morning, everyone. Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered in Baltimore, Maryland. One day at a time, forever. So I love this paragraph. I too am 56, and I spent probably better than 48, 49 years I was under the delusion that my exercise and my busy lifestyle would keep my compulsive overeating at bay. I think, looking back, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame, but looking back now, I can see that I always knew there was something under the surface that wasn't quite right with me and food. But now, having been recovered, I am so thrilled when I get to work with a young person. And right now I have two young mothers that I'm working with, and nothing gives me greater joy than working with somebody who is coming into the rooms that didn't have to go on to the bitter end, or like me, almost to the bitter end. We know moderate, it says, and there is a solution, that moderate drinkers have little trouble giving it liquor up entirely if they have good reason. They can take it or leave it alone. But here we go. Some of us are hopeless compulsive overeaters. And when people come into the program and they realize that, yes, they want to stop, they know there's a problem, if they can have humility and honesty and see that, yes, I am one of these people, I'm in trouble, I can share my story and people can relate in. And it's been such a blessing. God is making a message out of my mess. And when we get to work with these people, we get to be the hand and feet of God. We don't cure them. We tell our story. We don't identify them as a compulsive overeater. They get to do that, but they can relate in, and we can work. And as Leah poignantly says, hold the lantern over the text. And it's up to them if they grab it or not. They can go on playing around like I did for years. But I love it when we get to see God snatch someone from the gates of death earlier than it was for me. So, I would encourage everybody, sponsor. Don't be afraid if you're not good enough. The text speaks for itself. Get out there and sponsor, because there are armies and armies of these young people dying from this disease. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. Mary B., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Mary?
Hi. Can you hear me, Sherry?
I sure can.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to share. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. And I've been listening on the line for over 2 years now, and I just want to thank everyone that has gone to great lengths to make this meeting possible, because I am one of the people, one of the compulsive overeaters that's benefiting from it. Today, I want to comment on none will really want to stop. With every fiber of my being, my disease had gone way out of whack. I wanted to stop. I made so many attempts at trying to stop, going to church, getting prayed over, going to counseling, getting medication for depression, dieting, and it was to no avail. Everything I had tried just took me down even further. It was even a worse relapse when I got back into the food. And the life I have today is beyond anything I could possibly have ever have known. I guess we're revealing our ages today. I'm 67, but I feel like about 25, thanks to the program of recovery. Thanks to everyone. I love you all. Thanks for allowing me to share. Sherry, have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you, Mary B. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Electra S. Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce E., recovered in Florida. And, yeah, I got you all by a couple years here, a couple more years of suffering. This disease has been painful. It really has. In the very beginning, you know, I'm talking about right in the start of this whole thing, when I started realizing that I had a food problem and I couldn't seem to, you know, get my act together about food. And these diets in the very start of it worked for me. I was trying to think, well, I was listening to this, shares how long I got a diet to work for me in the very beginning, in the very, very start of this whole thing. And maybe the first diet worked a year. I'm not sure if I kept the weight off for a year, but I was white knuckling it. You know, I was having, you know, compulsions that whole year and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, probably off and on the same diet all that whole year. Then they got shorter and shorter and less and less willpower. I think maybe in the beginning I had a little willpower. That worked for me. It's probably what worked. And then less and less of that, or the disease got greater and greater and the willpower got just stayed the same. It wasn't enough to overcome this disease or to keep the weight off. And it says anyway, in the very beginning, if somebody had probably shared with me that much, I probably really wouldn't have wanted to, you know. I just didn't want to at first. I thought I could do it. You know, I thought I could do it myself. Didn't want to. Because it was still not that bad yet. There hadn't been enough pain yet. You know, I just needed a whole load more of pain. Excuse me. When I got the pain, then that's what brought me into the program. And I had this peculiar mental twist already acquired. I already had the mental twist. I was just trying to fight it, you know, with all the diets and everything. And so then several archived men of 30 and less had been drinking only a few years, but had found themselves as helpless as those had been. Yeah, it didn't matter. I mean, when I had this disease in the beginning, no matter how young I was, I couldn't do anything about it, you know. I was just as hopeless and helpless back then as I was later on. The binges kept getting worse and worse, though, and the food kept being more and more of a struggle. But I was just as helpless in the very beginning. I needed the program from the very, very start. Found themselves as helpless. Those have been drinking for 20 years. Yeah, it didn't matter how long I'd been. Yeah, thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Brucey. And before we hear from Electra S., just want to remind everybody what page we're on. We're on page 33, the second paragraph, and we're reading through that one paragraph only. So Electra S., after Electra S. shares, get ready to chime in and share on this paragraph, please. Okay, Electra S., you're up, please.
Good morning, thank you. So this is Electra S. from Santa Cruz, California, compulsive overeater and bulimic recovered. This is a really, these last two paragraphs are just incredibly powerful. It reminds me of what I look at as relapse in young people. And when I was 20 is when I was really forced into recovery out of just some medical concerns and having to alert my family of this powerful disease.
Electra, excuse me, could you speak a little louder, please?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Yeah, I will.
Thank you. Are you there? We can't hear you at all now. Are you still there, Electra? Star one to unmute. I think we lost you. Electra, are you there? Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask people to go ahead and chime in on who would like to share, and we'll we'll pick up Electra again.
Hey, so good morning.
Paige,
good morning.
On?
I'm sorry, wait, was that you, Electra?
It is. I am so sorry.
Okay, go ahead, please. You've got about a minute, 50 seconds. Go ahead, please.
You got it. No, you got
thank
it.
You.
Thank you for letting me share. I just, you know, these paragraphs are incredibly powerful. And at 20, when I was forced into some serious recovery, I did get to go through a 12-step program. But what I didn't have back then is I didn't have a spiritual experience. I had a spiritual malady, and it was my own willpower. And willpower really stands out for me in this paragraph because I did become abstinent in what the definition of abstinent was to the medical profession, but it was restriction and working out and never finding that spiritual solution. And 20 years later, coming back into this program, going through the steps and having to be forced to my knees out of massive relapse into this disease, but finding myself to be one of the lucky ones to be able to experience such a spiritual solution, reminding on page 85 that it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels and knowing that every day is a daily reprieve and that helping others is the greatest gift that this program can give all of us, but to live in this one day at a time. And I'm very grateful for these lines, and thank you for everyone on the lines and your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Electra. All right, who would like to to share?
Leah S.
I got you, Leah S.
Jean
Kathleen
J.
O.
I heard Kathleen O, but somebody came in right with Kathleen O.
Jean J. And can you remind me of the page? Please.
Jean J., we're on page 33, the second paragraph.
Thank you.
And who else would like to share?
Linda G.
I'm sorry?
Linda G.
Linda G. Okay. Got
Linda.
You, Linda.
Linda.
Beatrice O.
Got you, Beatrice.
Betsy QK.
Is that Betsy
QK?
QK. Betsy CK.
QK.
Oh, yes. Hi, Betsy QK. Gotcha.
Hi.
All right.
Thank you.
So we have Leah S., Kathleen O., Jane G., Jean J., Linda G., Beatrice O., and Betsy QK. All right. Leah S., please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leah S., very grateful in Brooklyn. Young people, one of the things that I did in this program when I came in was do a guilt trip on me. Get out of here. You're 50 years old. What did you do? You could have had this life. You could have had done so many things before that. And this guilt trip and this food, this insidious disease that really put me right back in and yo-yoed me constantly. You see, I did lose the weight when I dieted, and I did feel good after I dieted, but I didn't know how to live my life. My goodness, I didn't know how to not be pushy and not be aggressive and not listen to Leah. You know, Leah is the authority. I have a built-in forgetter. This program and these steps and these tools have helped me face my challenges throughout and continue to. This fellowship is incredible. And what I have today is tranquility among chaos. In a certain sense, that is quite unbelievable, really unbelievable. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. Kathleen O., you're followed up by Jean J. Kathleen?
Good morning. Thank you, Sherry KB, for your service this morning. And great to hear everyone on the line with these amazing shares. So I'm Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. And, you know, I was in the category of young people once. Everyone's being so brave and stating their age. I'll pass on that one. But I'm not in that category anymore, but I was. And I have to tell you, then and now, I have a lot of willpower. I have a lot of willpower. You know, willpower is about being able to restrain impulses, exerting control to do something. But when it came to eating, I had willpower, but I never could hold on to it. So because I had willpower, I was successful in numerous diets. I was successful in fasting. I was successful in losing weight over and over again. But because I have this disease, this physical allergy, this obsession of the mind, which I never knew I had, which is why I was so grateful to come in and get the aha moment, you know, that trumped my willpower every single time. And so every single time I would gain all my weight back and always a little more. And I'll tell you, for anyone who's done that and been out there doing that, I mean, I did it for decades, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight. It wreaks havoc on one's body. It is not a good thing. So because I have this mental twist, you know, I could never win. And, you know, we've been talking about eating like a normal person. I mean, I realized, and, you know, this whole step one of being powerless, I realized that I know I'm powerless because I don't want to eat like a normal person. I want to eat like a compulsive overeater and be skinny and not have the health consequences. Well, that's a ridiculous thing. It's not going to happen. So, and it's really interesting because, you know, when I go out and eat, people think I'm a normal person, but they know I don't eat the stuff that, you know, the flour, sugars, things. And people always say to me, oh, you have so much willpower. And it's like, yeah, but when it comes to food, I don't have willpower. And the only way I'm able to do this is to do these steps because, you know, the lies and fears in our head, they're so brutal that eating is always a step up. So to get past that, we've really got to work the steps. And it is such a gift. It's life is so much better. It's like we get the freedom from the food and we get freedom from this craziness in our head. And it really is a gift. So, and I like that saying, you know, when we stop eating, the flame may be out, but the pilot light is always lit. And so unless I continue to work these steps on a daily basis, that flame's going to ignite again. And thank you all. I pass.
Excellent timing, Kathleen O. Janine J., you're up, followed by Linda G. Jean J.
This is Jean J. Gotcha now. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is Jean J. in Portland, Oregon. And thanks everyone for making the meeting today and studying the text here. 2 points I'd like to make. First, I am a woman of a certain age. When we get to be my age, we don't even announce our number anymore. And it's taken me a lifetime of laboring in the torment of the disease to come around and to come to believe, as Bill says. And in my view, yes, I've paid mightily. I've squandered what could have been a healthy scene emotionally and so forth, physically. I mean, really paid handsomely. However, from a young age, I knew that my mantra here on the planet was this eating thing. And if I could just, as I said back then, lose weight, why, I would die a happy woman. Well, you know, turns out it's way more than that. But I'm nearing the end of my days on the planet. And as far as I'm concerned, if I can face the universe when I depart with straight eyes and clean hands, why, it will have been a journey well worth the time. So grateful on that score, and it's never too late. The other part, just quickly, is the last sentence. People that start, or early, let's see, when the disease hits us, in my case, I was born with it, we find ourselves just as helpless as those who have been practicing for a long time. Yes, it comes on, and it's a sticky wicket, one of those Japanese finger puzzles from the very beginning, and completely more powerful than any of the willpower I've ever tried to apply to this sucker. And so it doesn't seem to be a function of time. It's just when you get this disease, off go the legs, and you have no more legs. And so whether you're new to that game or old to that game, you have no legs. All righty. Well, I'm happy to be crawling along, even without my legs, and I'm glad to be here with everybody. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. Linda G., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Linda?
Good morning. I'm Linda G. from Massachusetts, and I thank everybody for being here this morning. Without you all have given me so much hope for quite a while now. I wanted to comment on this paragraph. I know I've had the ism of this fatal, horrible disease since I was born. It didn't manifest itself, though, until I was 27 and put down the alcohol and drugs, switched seats on the Titanic, and I couldn't understand why I was gaining weight. It was really blackout eating, and I couldn't no way was I going to have another disease. Anyway, to make a very long story short, I thought I was working the steps in this other program. I came in at like 115 pounds, blah, 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 blah. But I never learned to work the steps of the big book. And maybe even being in a different program would not have been the answer, working the steps, addressing those issues, an ingredient or alcohol. So I got up to, over 300 pounds, but it was the mental, the horrible hole of not wanting to live, of hopelessness, despair. It was so bad. And by the grace of God, I was led to a food fellowship. And I thought I was doing the steps. We did something called AWOLs. I went through six of those, which is a way of life, a closed group, a year and a half of working on the steps, with the big book being one of the literature's books we would use, but not just that. Sponsoring people, sponsoring a friend I was very close to, and being with her 45 minutes before she died of cancer when she was only 52, and availing myself. And, I know I got back so much more than they said I was giving them. And it is a wonderful thing to sponsor. Anyway, to make a long story short, maybe I didn't. Okay. So I will just end here. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Linda G. Beatrice, though, you're up, followed by Betsy Q.K. Beatrice?
Good morning. This is Beatrice from the Bay Area in California. And I just wanted to share about where it says, none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the particular mental twist. So I came in a long time ago in my 20s. And I used to look at the older women in the program, and I would say to myself, yeah, they're all worn out, and that's why they were able to get abstinent. and stay abstinent because, you know, because they're old. And then the younger women, I used to say, that were my age who got abstinent, and they used to say got stricken abstinent, is because they're not really food addicts. So I was in denial about a lot of stuff, but I really, the part that really want to stop, it's not that I wanted to have my cake and eat it too. What I really didn't want to do, if I'm honest about it, is I really didn't want to turn my life and my will and my actions and my behavior. I didn't really want to surrender my life to God. That's what I really didn't want to do. I could surrender the food, but I didn't really want to surrender myself. And it was the character defects that this program asks you to let go of in step six. You know, retiring and the procrastination, the sloth, the gluttony. You know, I'm taking comfort in food. I was a total gossip at work. I had self-righteous anger. And I liked some of my character defects. I didn't want to let go of that. And all those behaviors that I had, I didn't want to let go of or surrender. I just wanted to stop eating and get thin. But surrendering my life to God, I did not want to do. And that is what why I relapsed, because I never surrendered. I didn't surrender the food, and I didn't surrender to God. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice O. And Betsy QK, you're up. You'll be our last speaker. Sure.
Thank you. This is Betsy QK. I'm a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. And I believe that genetically I was predispositioned from birth to be a compulsive overeater. And I also have other issues that I recover from with the 12 steps. So genetically I was set up, and I just honestly can't remember a time, even from my earliest memories, where I wasn't obsessed with food. And I was a really skinny kid with a really fragile digestive system. And so, you know, treat foods or normal foods would make me really sick. I always say I was a natural bulimic. Like we'd eat somewhere at a fast food place, we'd be driving, and blah, it would all come up, because I just couldn't digest it. But, this manifested later on into an eating disorder by the time I was 12. And I believe my eating disorder was a combination of my childhood, which was really crazy and chaotic with alcoholism and addiction in my family, and also a mental imbalance in my brain. So my eating disorder started at a very young age and took off very quickly, and brought me to my knees. By the time I was 18, I went to my first treatment center. Even before that, I used to go to the Yale New Haven Eating Disorders Clinic, which was, you know, renowned for helping people. And the therapist, you know, would tell me things like, well, I just take out a little bit, I put it on my plate, then I put it back in the fridge, and I don't go back to the fridge. That was absolutely useless information for me, because that never worked, because I'm the real thing. I'm a compulsive overeater. The fridge is right there. You just get up and you go to the fridge again. She didn't seem to understand why I couldn't not do that. So treatment helped me, because they helped me to see, and they the nature of my addiction. They introduced me to 12 steps. And they also told me that I, you know, would have to attend other 12-step programs because I couldn't drink and recover, or do drugs and recover and all of that.
Thank you. So my big thing is, I just want to say that even though I started when I was 18, I'm now 51, I'm still learning how to be, you know, more sober every day, because it's a miracle that I'm recovered from my eating disorder and the 12 steps, and God has given me that. So if anybody's struggling with that, I just want to say there's tremendous hope. Thank you.
And thank you, Betsy QK. Well, that's all the time we have for sharing today. Thank you so much for a wonderful meeting, everybody, all the people that shared and all the ones that listened and all your service. I'd like to thank Team Friday for their service. Athena B was the 12 Steps, Denise H, the 12 Traditions, Readers of Our Text was Julie E.B., Janice P.M. is going to read page 164, and Don B. Backup waiting in our wings, in her wings. Newcomer greeter is Mo H, and announcements will be by Reggie O. Janice P.M., would you please now read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
And well, certainly.
Oh. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, and certainly I will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.